Hi, everybody, and welcome to the first ever bonus episode of the FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, and as always, I am accompanied by my son, Jackson. Say hello, Jack.
Hello, Jack.
So Jackson is dying of suspense because I've had an idea for a sort of a bonus episode that we're going to review something that shouldn't take too long and should be lots of fun for the amount of time, or at least interest. We should get some pretty strong reactions out of it, probably. I may have mentioned it to you before. I don't think you know much about it. Have you ever heard of Wrestling Society X?
No.
You haven't? That is great. That is great news.
Well, you've mentioned it once.
I've mentioned it once?
Yeah.
And you don't know anything about it?
No.
Okay. So, I think you need to move a little closer. So, basically, and I'm taking some of this. I've done some research leading into this. As you know, I was taking notes and looking up some stuff.
Yeah.
So this is actually from an article in the Rolling Stone magazine, which is a pretty major like music and entertainment magazine. They did an article on it.
Right.
So this is kind of some information from them. So just to give you some background, in January of 2007, right, the state of wrestling was in flux. So the Monday Night Wars were a million miles in the rear view, like they're long gone. And so the King of the Mountain was clearly WWE, right? And they're struggling to sort of move forward and figure things out after the Attitude Era is over. So TNA at this point has just started to sort of pick up steam.
Yeah, they're just
on
NWA
Spike, right?
Previously.
And Ring of Honor hasn't hit television yet. So WCW and ECW at this point are gone, right? And part of Vince's part
except
of WWE.
WWE ECW.
Right? So there's no big name giving WWE any trouble. So this is where they thought there was a market that they could now sort of get on TV and be competition to WWE because there isn't anything available.
The Wrestling
right now.
Society, whatever thing.
Wrestling Society X. So that was their plan. So one of the producers, or the producer, I guess, of the show, Kevin Kleinrock, he said in the interview that there seemed to be this big crossover. So this will give you an idea of some of the what they're going for. Big crossover of punk rock fans and bands that were wrestling fans, right? So I think the idea was to combine the world of rock and roll and wrestling and get it on MTV, which MTV, as you know it now, there's not that much music on it, right? But in the past, I don't remember what it was like in 2007, but at some point it was just mostly music content.
Right.
So this is them trying to combine music and wrestling into their own show.
Yeah.
So it's created in 2006, but on TV in 2007, which is what else happened in 2007? Nothing exciting, right? You were born? That's what I was going for.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I was trying to think of anything. Oh, yeah, Chris Benoit thingy.
That's not what I'm talking about. Doesn't matter. I was basically trying to imply that your birth is also important.
I thought you were trying to imply it's not.
So the pilot was filmed on February 10th, and everybody, all the wrestlers there were forced to sign an agreement stating that if it got picked up for MTV, that they were committed to every episode. So do you know what a pilot is?
Yeah, like
it's like the first a test episode of something. So basically, anyone involved in that pilot is locked in for the whole season if they get picked up, which they did for the one season. Okay,
If Lucha Underground did their pilot,
exactly same. Okay. You're gonna see some similarities. This is kind of Lucha-y. So they taped the entire first season in 5 days in November of 2006.
Yikes.
And just in my research, I didn't know, never knew that Vampiro is one of the bookers of the show.
The WCW dude?
Yep. I like Vampiro. Canadian, actually.
He looks like Raven.
Maybe a little. So it was on in 2007 on a bunch of different MTV outlets. I think they just sort of tried it out anywhere to see if they could get a following. So the concept of it now, so just like what they're going for to give you an idea, is it's a secret society of wrestling, and they hold it in like the WSX bunker, they call it. So it's really a lot, not that you watched Lucha Underground, I've seen all of them, I think, but it's the same idea. It's this secret society of fighters coming in and fighting in this dirty, dark little place, okay?
Oh, like a better version of stupid Raw Underground.
Yeah, it's kind of like Raw Underground right now. You're going to see
Raw
a different version.
Bad.
So they have this gritty, worn-out-looking venue, and all matches are falls count anywhere, which I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I think it's interesting. It's something different.
Right. So every match is basically going to be Extreme Rules, right, at this point, to use WWE language. So there's a musical guest every episode because it's MTV,
yay.
So they're doing that hook. And they play a song at the beginning, and they generally somebody from the band or the whole band will join commentary, which rarely works out well, but it's their thing, right? They're trying to get people on the show. Yeah. So I guess they promise them a commentary.
If you don't
spot.
Really know wrestling, then guest commentators are kind of crap.
Yeah, yes, they're not. I've watched the first three episodes because they don't take long. They go real fast. You'll see when I get into it.
Even like guest wrestler commentators, like, you know, even then, that's still pretty bad. So yes. If you're doing celebrity commentators, it's not
well.
Go that
and
long.
Their definition of celebrity, like, I haven't heard of any of these people. It's not like they're getting super mega rock band stars, right? They're getting people that are wrestling fans. So as we know, that's not a large segment of the population.
Nope,
sometimes
it's not,
right? So they're basically billing themselves as an unorthodox approach to pro wrestling. They're going to have, ready? They're going to have visual effects, sound effects, etc. So it's kind of like WWE in the pandemic era saying they're going to play with audio and video and try new things. This is what these guys were doing already, like 13 years ago. So our commentary team is Chris Kloss, Brent Ernst, and Fabian Kalin is the ring announcer. Remember on the last episode of our regular show, I said, remember that you said you liked... the energy of the ring announcer in AEW. What's his name?
Justin Roberts.
So wait until you see Wrestling Society X. Fabian Kalin is the ring announcer. So he takes it to another level, you'll see. So Ernst is a comedian. Kloss is an actor, director, producer who has done a few wrestling-related projects. And Kalin, the ring announcer, had a wrestling school and looks like, just quickly looking, Googling his name, he was generally involved in a bunch of various wrestling capacities. So what I'm going to do for this episode, I think, is I'm pretty much going to pause here. I just wanted to reveal what it was to Jack, give him a bit of background, and then I'm going to pause the recording. Each episode, this is the crazy thing. So yeah, it was a half-hour show on TV. So once you edit out, you can find these episodes anywhere, are very easily online. I highly recommend, if you like wrestling at all or you like our podcast, each episode, minus the commercials and anything else, is like 19 minutes. They're basically 20-minute show each. And the reason I think people should listen is because when we go to describe this show, it might sound like we had some sort of hallucination or a fever dream or something, because some of it might not sound real. So it is not real, but I mean, like, it actually happened, right? So at this point, I'm going to pause this and I'm going to come back in about 20 minutes after Jack's watched episode one. And you don't have to take notes, buddy. I've taken detailed notes. So if you just want to, because we're doing it a little different, right? We're going to react right after you watch it. So we can try no notes altogether or whatever you want to do. Because I've already gone through and taken detailed notes. It's a quick...
And anybody's listening, just maybe pause now. And remember, it's Wrestling Society X if you want to watch it.
Yep,
and then
episode one.
Come back around to see what we thought.
And through the magic
of
technology, we won't be gone at all, right? So we'll seamlessly just come back and we'll be talking about episode one.
So I'm sure there'll be a time, Dad, we'll put a timestamp for the YouTube of the podcast so that you know when, like, the review is kind of up. Are we doing, like, how many episodes are in the season?
I wanted to do, for this podcast, episode one and two.
Okay.
Right? So we'll knock off episode one now, and then we'll, when we have more time this week, and then we can publish it whenever we feel like it. So we're going to start with episode one, and we will be back very shortly to talk about episode
one
of Wrestling.
Yeah, we'll be back in like 3 seconds.
Society X. So we're back, and Jackson has now watched episode one of Wrestling Society X, and we're just going to sort of talk about it. I took a whole bunch of notes, so he was just to watch it, and sort of all... give the detailed rundown of everything that happened, and you can just add in your thoughts whenever you see fit. So we get the intro is a combination of heavy rock music, black and white highlights as the camera moves through a dark, dingy hallway. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes.
And again, this intro is like really, really short, right? Everything on this, they're trying to jam. It feels like they're trying to jam an hour or 2 hour show into 19 minutes.
Yeah,
and it's...
Even, like, if we were to watch an episode of the Goldbergs, it would be longer than this.
Yes. Right? So they're trying to get a full wrestling show in 20 minutes. It's,
right, and
it's
that's
insane.
Not
going to
happen. Even in half hour, I would say is laughable, so.
I would agree. You can't, I don't know. They're they try and pack so much stuff in here that everything is, like, compressed down to
just a
fragment of what it should
be. The least amount of time that would be doable for an acceptable wrestling show is an hour.
I'm waiting for the 90-minute show, because I feel like that's perfect. You
know
what I
mean? Yeah, that's true.
But it will never happen because TV doesn't do 90-minute blocks of stuff.
Right.
So we meet our hosts, Chris Kloss and Brett Ernst.
His last name.
And again, I just made a note, Ernst, because it's to go with the look, right? They're wearing black t-shirts and black leather jackets, and everybody's so dark and cool. Black t-shirts,
except not now, but.
It's weird that neither of us is wearing a black t-shirt right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, so you're not even wearing a t-shirt.
True.
You're wearing a tank top.
True. Thanks. Behind the curtain here at the podcast. Yep.
And a beard.
Yeah, I worked out before this. I'm still in my workout clothes. Give me a break.
And then next to a workout machine, still, as always.
As always. It's here. We are told the main event will be a 10-man battle royal to climb a ladder and claim...
No, it's a WSX Rumble.
Sorry, you're right. I did change that later in my notes. And claim one of the two contracts for a championship match on next week's show.
Yeah.
So we now get to see the arena. It's a dark, grungy-looking place on purpose. They want it to look...
It might have just been because it was on YouTube, but I found it to be blurry. Like, if I didn't know any better, Matt Sydal could have looked like Cody Rhodes.
Yes. He does a little bit look like Cody Rhodes at that point, for sure. So that is one of the competitors in our first ever WSX match. We have Matt Sydal versus Jack Evans.
Who's in AEW now.
Right.
So, interesting.
And so the ring announer Fabian Kalin is just ridiculous.
He sucks.
Well, describe him.
He's too energetic, and it's not Justin Roberts makes it cool. Like,
I agree.
He does it appropriately as well. And it was just terrible. You have to kind of watch it.
So he's wearing jeans and like a button-up shirt that's unbuttoned, and he's...
And he's got like the Mr. Kennedy mic.
And he has a Mr. Kennedy mic, and he is yelling and sprinting.
And the commentators too. You were saying when I was watching, it's like their default setting is to yell.
Yep, everything is loud. The crowd is loud. It's a choice they've made in their sound. The commentators are yelling pretty much the whole time.
To the point where I'm concerned for their voices, and also I'm surprised when they're not yelling.
It's not a relaxing view, right? It's high energy, high volume for 19
I feel like
minutes.
It's not like for you, like ECW, where it's like, I don't know. It's very... It's like a not cool ECW. I don't know.
It's like I'm watching a regular wrestling show on 2x speed on YouTube or something. Right? Is what it feels like.
Okay, yeah.
So, did you notice the disclaimer at the bottom as Fabian Kalin is running around ring announcing?
Probably, but I forgot.
It scrolled across the bottom of the screen. I got it.
I did see it verbatim.
Here's what it says. What you are about to see contains death-defying stunts performed by insane professional wrestlers. Ooh. These stunts should not be attempted at home, .. or anywhere else. So I don't want to see you doing this in the backyard later, okay?
Oh, yeah. Well, because I'm probably smart, and also, this sucked, so...
Well, I do leave electrified cages and wires around the backyard, right?
And, electrocuted,
Of my electrified cages.
Okay? Oh, yeah, and that are rigged with explosives.
Oh, yes, that too.
Oh, yeah.
My metal boxes rigged with explosives.
Yeah.
So, Kalin tells us that this show won't start with a whimper, but with a bang, and then right on cue, I don't know if you noticed, they actually have the camera shake, and then fire shoots out of the ring post Kane style.
Yeah, because, and then we got a special appearance by Kane. No, we didn't. They're not that good.
And I don't know a lot about pyro other than to know it's really expensive, so... Their budget for, because they've got a lot of visual effects going on, right? So I don't know how much they spent, but
they're probably wasting it by doing this crappy looking show.
They
could have more lighting though. Seriously,
they want it to look dark and grungy. That's the
look. Like, I'd like to see what's happening.
I would love for now to contrast this with Lucha Underground episode 1, because it's going for the same thing, but it looks so, the way they film it looks so beautiful. Oh, I love it. Anyways,
we should do that sometime.
We can.
Okay.
Matt Sydal enters first with his sweetheart Lizzie Valentine. So I think the character he's playing, because he is this young, clean-cut, handsome kid, right? So he's playing like the jerky frat boy sort of gimmick is what his thing is.
Right.
And this is his college sweetheart girlfriend, right?
Okay.
So he's like the obnoxious frat kid. He's handsome and he's had everything
handed
to him.
This is pre-WWE, so... Because
right?
I think he debuted for WWE, ECW, maybe 2008.
Yeah.
I know he
was close,
like...
right?
Because I think he's at least there till 2012. So. Yep.
And we got pictures with him at somewhere too, right?
Impact.
Yeah.
The Matt Sydal I'm used to is when he has long hair and facial hair, not
Evan
Bourne.
Yeah, he was
doing
his third eye gimmick.
Third eye.
So Jack Evans enters next. I have Jack enters in Big Show's hand-me-downs, ? Because he's wearing
He looked like, if anybody's ever seen the show Fresh Off the Boat, he looks like Eddie Wong.
So yeah, he's dressed in just oversized.
It's like what Shorty G wears, almost.
But But that's his thing, right? He's a breakdancer, that kind of thing. So guitarist Zach Wilde, I don't know. I don't know who he is. Look him up if you want to. I'm sure he's amazing. He joins the booth as Jack Evans breakdances. So the match starts slowly. Nope, just kidding.
Oh, might I add that the guest commentator, what's his name again? I forgot already.
Zach Wilde. I just read his name five seconds ago. I couldn't remember.
Awesome. Yeah. he sucked. He was not great.
No. And
this is what I'm saying. When people are brought on to commentate on a wrestling show and they have probably zero to little idea of what the product is, it's really not great.
And you're not trained in how to do it, right? They're just hoping somebody knows this guy and will like see that he's on here and watch it.
Yeah, it's like if I did commentary on like something I knew like nothing about, like curling.
Some people think things are easy, right? They don't understand professionals make it look easy sometimes. Right. A lot of different fields.
All right.
So I was going to say it starts out slowly, but no, of course not. It's immediately a dropkick by Seidel. He gets Evans in a powerbomb grip and flips him over the top ropes instead to the floor. Seidel hits a leaping, twisting flip.
It's called a spaceman plancha.
I was really hoping you would come in for that because I wasn't sure. I'm just like describing Ricochet what it actually is.
Ricochet does that, right?
So he flips over the ropes to Evans on the floor. We're back in ring, chops to Evans, who then reverses an Irish whip into the corner and hits a twisting handspring back elbow.
He does that in AEW, too.
The guy's an acrobat, right? It's incredible the things he can do. So he hits the back elbow to Seidel. Evans springboards from the top into a spinning heel kick by Seidel. The crowd and announcers are yelling the entire time. So we get this odd over one shoulder backbreaker applied by Seidel. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've seen that.
I don't know if I remember.
It looked okay.
The only good thing about everybody yelling would be for everyone to lose their voices so that you actually get silence.
it didn't happen. In 19 minutes, they can yell for 19 minutes straight, apparently.
Yeah.
Indeed. Rope break and a spinning kick to the midsection by Evans. Tornado kick by Evans. Spinning handspring flip over top rope to Seidel on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Ricochet does a similar thing, but I think he does a moonsault.
But when he does it, are there no mats on the floor? Because they made sure they pointed that out to us, right? There's no mats on the floor at WSX.
It's extreme.
Corkscrew splash missed by Evans. Seidel hits a pump handle short powerbomb. I didn't know what to call it.
I think it was just a pump handle slam. I don't think it was a powerbomb at all.
But he kind of like spun him and did it between the legs and sat over.
I don't know. I was not paying attention.
It was for two.
It was pump handle something.
Yep. Seidel hits a standing really big moonsault for two. Head kick.
He like kind of hit him and like when he landed on Evans, he kind of hit Evans with his crotch or the region.
But the height he gets on it, right, is pretty impressive.
But I think the landing wasn't great.
Wasn't the best. No. Head kick to Seidel and Valentine grabs Evans' leg as he tries to run the ropes. She gets dragged into the ring, and Evans uses her to jump off of to hit a tornado DDT, right?
But then she sells that like he stomped on her or something.
Right, it was a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Then we get the 630, right, in 2007.
Another Ricochet
That's
thing.
Impressive.
Yeah.
And Jack Evans wins the first ever WSX match.
It was like
match.
5-6 minutes-ish. So.
And that's standard here. So this is what I'm saying is you take a bunch of good wrestlers, and you say, you got 5 minutes, do whatever you want, right? So there's
which makes it not great.
There's absolutely no psychology. There's no story because, I mean, I'm just summarizing moves. When we're doing other shows, right, we're sort of talking about, well, here's the story they're going for, like Scorpio Sky's
this. This, even like between matches, they have no time. They hardly even have time for two good matches.
You're
right.
I'm surprised that 13 you are like recognizing this stuff because it's just nonstop. Pedal to the metal.
Like, there's just no room for a story. It's just going to be, like, matches, and none of them are going to be good, I don't think.
So it's capable guys.
Unless they do, like, one match throughout the show, that's the only chance they have
They're capable guys. They're just coming in and doing spots
and
for 5 minutes.
Another thing I have to say is that, so you said all the matches are false camera, right? What's the point if they're going to be, like, 5 minutes? Might as well just have a normal match,
They don't have
right?
a lot of time to get anywhere.
Right? So,
no,
like,
you're right.
Even just a no DQ match with, like, pinfalls in the ring, like, you know, you don't have to put the false camera if you don't have time to use it.
No, they really don't. You're right. So I have, this is insanity, zero psychology. This is what you get when you tell good wrestlers they have 5 minutes to do whatever they want.
It is.
It feels like it honestly feels like a highlight reel of a longer match, right? That they took like a 15-minute match and here's the highlight reel, but no.
Except like, it would be like a highlight reel, but if it was like strung together, because like, you know how highlight reels, it's like one thing and then cuts
to
something else.
There's no cuts, right?
It's like a cut-free highlight reel.
However, now that we're saying this out loud, I wonder if I really paid attention and went back, maybe they were longer matches that they just cut some stuff out of. But I don't know. It does seem pretty seamless. Right? So we're learning the value of psychology in matches because there's none of it.
Yeah. Although, given this is a 20-minute show, more or less, I doubt it's going to be cut like that. I bet this is just the match.
That's what they did. It's just a sprint. Every match is a five-minute sprint. Go. Yeah, it feels
it's a
like
sprint,
it.
Not a marathon. Let's say that.
I don't know how much you got of this. I had to pause on everyone because, again, it's like...
The tag teams?
Everything they're doing should be... it's like 25% of how long it really should be. So they're giving us a preview, quote-unquote, of some of the tag teams in their company.
I swear I noticed Tyler Black, Seth Rollins.
So we get... And honestly, these are what on the screen for 3 seconds, 3 to 5 seconds.
Right,
each.
Like the nameplates in like the Rumble. I noticed the Chaos guy is like... His finisher, I think, was the... I thought it was a Chaostrophe, but that's...
And it's off the screen so fast.
I knew it was some lame chaos pun, but...
So we have Keeping It Gangsta is one tag team. D-I-F-H is another tag team.
I feel like that's the one that Tyler Black's in.
I'm going to check them out for NCU, if you're right. Okay. Trailer Park Boys, Team Dragon Gate. So
I noticed that.
Spoiler alert, I've watched the next two episodes already, and there's one guy in the Team Dragon Gate. Oh, he is so fast, it's unbelievable. So that's
when you have fast matches, you gotta have
true.
Him, I guess.
He's next level, you'll see when we get there. And again, this is all accompanied by aggressive rock music in the background, and it's just quick cut. Like 3 to 5 seconds on one, boom, right to the next, they're just chained together.
It's like, do you want us to read it?
So you really have a vague idea of some names of teams and what they look like,
exactly.
And that's it. Okay, so then it goes right into more like quick cut sort of videos.
Weird, it's like in the old WWF days, they would do like those, like in the Royal Rumble. I remember we were watching an old Rumble and like they do like the backstage kind of promos or whatever, you know? It's like those, but like a fraction of
and
the
one
time.
One on top of the other, right? So it's Justin Credible says it's his night. Boom, cut to New Jack.
See, the first one was fine because it was just like, it was very like, you could get
makes
it.
Sense.
But...
Then they cut to New Jack threatening Hamrick. Boom. Cut to Teddy Hart is the past, present, and future of pro wrestling. Cut. One half of Chaos and Aguilera, are ready. And the other one's on the phone because the story is that he's distracted by women and he's constantly trying to flirt with women instead of focusing on his match. And then, so again, just super short promos piled on top of each other. And you don't really learn anything about anyone other than their name, maybe. So
and
I don't know
that Teddy Hart loves moonsaults.
So it's main event time.
Hey, already.
At like 12 minutes into the show or whatever. And we're getting ready. So we get
the WSX Rumble.
We get the rules of the Rumble. So amazingly enough, wrestlers 1 and 2 will start. Well, that's different.
No.
I know, right?
No.
A new wrestler every 45 seconds. I was tempted to time it because there's definitely... I feel like they...
Because, like, New Jack came in right after Hamrick.
Yeah. And then I felt like the last guy
and like
came out, like, 10 minutes... No, well, there's nothing
10 minutes,
annoyingly
so, like, they did a couple entrants during, like, their commercial break.
Yes,
why?
They did. One guy, we'll get to it. One guy's entire Rumble appearance was on the commercial break.
Oh, yeah, the Puma.
Yeah. So, new wrestler every 45 seconds. Contracts are in play once all are in the ring, so you can't be eliminated until everybody's in the ring.
No, you could get eliminated because Puma got eliminated.
Oh, right. You can't grab a contract.
But you can lose.
Sorry, you're right.
It's like the Royal Rumble. You can't lose. Well, you can't win until it's at the end, but you can lose any time. You know
that's
what I
right.
mean?
That's fair.
Except this one was bad.
Wrestlers are eliminated when they are thrown over the ropes and onto the floor. They don't do any of the both feet have to touch the floor because that's hard to do when everybody's going
when
to the table.
When there's cages rigged with explosives and what was the other one? The
live wires.
Oh, yeah. The live wires that are electrocuted. Ooh.
Terrified. You sound scared. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm traumatized right now.
So there are tables.
This?
Quote, live electrical wires in a cage, quote, rigged with explosives.
I think it's rigged with pyro.
And I have, okay. So the ring announcer is sprinting around the ring again. And
I hate
yelling.
Him. He's so bad.
I warned you. Entrant number one is just incredible. So we get a quick picture.
I'd like to say he's just incredible.
So they put up a brief bio and a picture of everybody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, see, like, that's why I was only able to get the chaos. It's so, like, it's just, like, boom.
It's there, you look at it, it's gone. And you're not quite sure what you saw.
Thank God I already know who Justin Credible is, right?
Entrant 2 is Teddy Hart, who's come from outside...
Heard of him.
Who from outside the ring hurls a water bottle from a pretty good distance and hits Credible like basically right in edited. The face as he just got his hands up.
And I know Teddy Hart's a bit of a controversial dude.
He sure
dude.
Is.
So,
well, even yeah. in this, if you watch, I notice some parts where he doesn't sell stuff. He just gets up to do his next move. He's not...
And he's obsessed with moonsaults.
He loves them. So punches in a dropkick from Hart. Hart does a huge moonsault and lands on his feet.
It was just more of a backflip than moonsault. Then he gets super kicked in the face,
right.
which is kind of funny.
Backflip, land on your feet for absolutely no reason.
Right.
Turn around and take a super kick.
Right, yep. like, why?
Yep, just because he's getting his stuff in, man. Gotta get Ooh. His stuff in. Springboard moonsault by Hart.
Right.
already. Chaos is next one out. Chaos is double teamed by the first two guys.
So yeah, I miss his finishes. Like the Chaos Trophies.
Yes.
Or Chaos
Again, we get half a second of his picture in a bio and we're moving on.
Yep.
Hart no sells Chaos's double clothesline. So it was kind of interesting because Credible sells it. Hart bounces right back up and then hits a cradle DDT on Chaos.
Oh, yeah. Like the Rampage. Cool. Do you know Paige used to use it as a finisher?
What is it? Sorry?
Paige used to call it the Rampage, and Nia Jax did it when she
good
returned.
Memory. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a decent move.
Shooting Star Press now by Hart to Chaos, who's being held across Credible's
Which
knee.
Is a moonsault variation, so that was also annoying.
Yeah, flip for Teddy. Vampiro is entrant number 4.
And you said he's a booker, right? So
he's a booker, and they comment on how big he is compared to everybody else.
And Teddy Hart, I must say his ring attire was not very pleasing. It was a weird pink, and then also it's just like baggy.
You might not know Kiwi from WCW.
Mm. Alan Funk. His pants were similar to early WWE Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, he's...
You know, he used to wear the big... Except those look cool.
The man is super talented in the ring, but he has
Teddy
trouble...
Hart.
Stay in with promotions for various reasons, I think.
Isn't that a similar issue with Austin Aries, I heard?
Yeah, it could be. They're hard to
I
work
think.
With sometimes.
And
maybe some movie. Other stuff.
Anyways.
Sorry. Vampiro is number 4. He takes out everybody with the clotheslines, a spinning heel kick, and a choke slam. Puma. So coming back from a commercial break, we're told Puma was entrant 5, but got thrown out immediately by Vampiro during the commercial. So he got a payday for doing nothing.
I think Vampiro looks like Raven with face paint, like as a person.
It's that similar dark loner character, right?
So, I just think even his face looks like Raven with face paint.
Alcatraz, which in brackets I have 3/4 Warlord, because he looks like the Warlord and he's a really big dude, but like Warlord was insanely huge. So he's their big muscle guy, right?
Alcatraz, the name is not very...
Well, it's the name of a prison, so I think that's the idea.
Okay.
So he enters 6th and gets taken down by a leaping elbow from Vampiro. 6-Pac enters 7th.
Oh my god, his name was so confusing. I thought it's gonna be 6-Pac, and it's like a pun on 6-Pac, but then Dad was like, because in WCW he was 6,
right.
And then
in
WWE he was X-Pac after being the 1-2-3 kid, so they could have called him 1-2-3-Pac.
1-2-3-Pac. So he hits a heel kick to Credible right away. X-Factor to Vampiro, X-Factor to Credible.
Yeah, he did like 3 in a row, right?
Get your stuff in, man. You only got 5 minutes. Just start spamming finishers. That's what it is.
Right.
6-Pac chops and stomps Hart into the corner and hits a Bronco Buster. God, I haven't missed seeing that. Listen, X-Pac.
Didn't he like split his butt with that?
Yeah, at some point. He takes a lot of grief, but he's an awesome wrestler. And if you go back and look at some of his European title matches back in the day in WWF, he was awesome.
Right.
So I like him more than some do.
I think if the show was longer too, they could have like more entrants and maybe, you know, like
yes, more
even a 15.
Anything, more everything, more something.
Right.
More
backstory.
So Chris Hamrick is entrant number 8, and then my next note is immediately New Jack is
number 9.
Right,
like that was weird.
? 2 seconds after Hamrick.
I thought he was just coming to attack him.
I think they're saying that New Jack doesn't care about the rules and he wants Hamrick, so he's going to get him, but they don't say anything like that.
But why does he want Hamrick?
That's where commentary needs to explain that to us, right? But they don't have time. There's people.
Yeah, but they don't explain, like, why does he hate Hamrick? Is this some blood feud from another promotion that we've missed?
Kind of do, and I have that in my next note.
I didn't miss it.
They imply that Hamrick is a racist and that's really? Why he has issues with New Jack. Right, he's something like, oh, he's a good old country boy, and that's why he has a problem with New Jack. So that's what they're trying to say. So New Jack beats on Hamrick right away. That's his sole focus. He's not interested in anything else. Hamrick
ends
up
on...
They
can even, like, explain that more clearly,
I agree.
Though.
They just don't have time, right?
Right.
Hamrick ends up on the apron, takes a forearm to the upper back by New Jack, which somehow propels him into a front flip through a table that's outside of the ring. So he's eliminated.
Maybe he just felt like somersaulting through a table. You never know.
He sometimes, right? The urge
gets
you.
He's a country boy.
Right. New Jack jumps down and eliminates himself because he's so focused on getting Hamrick that he just kind of stands on the apron and then jumps down
but
to continue his attack.
He's so focused that he's always willing to beat up a referee for some reason.
Yeah, so he's not happy with the referee. So what does he do, Jackson?
I forgot.
He drags him into the ring.
Oh, yeah, he drags him in the ring, and then what did he do?
He hits him with a giant guitar shot to
I hit him with a guitar.
Right?
Why did I forget that?
I don't know. Well, because there's 9 million high spots in this, so it's really
okay,
hard
yeah,
to focus on.
Okay, yeah, forgive me. I usually have a good memory, so if I forget, it's on them.
But you've just been bombarded with so much stuff in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep it straight.
Watch my coverage of the second episode.
Notes,
it'll be the same.
These notes took me forever because I don't type super fast, and there's no break between any move, right? So it's
even
just
AEW is a struggle sometimes. In NXT. Right?
And this is that on speed.
It's AEW on steroids.
So the announcers are standing and yelling now after the guitar shot. They're even louder than they were before. Vampiro power slams Chaos. Moonsault from Hart to Chaos. Hey, Hart did a moonsault. Weird.
No way.
New Jack sets up Hamrick on another table outside.
Oh,
Alcatraz and Chaos get hung up on the rope. Alcatraz's partner, who's not in the rumble, runs out and back suplexes Chaos into the electrified box, and we get explosions, etc. And it's funny because I was watching Jack watch it, and the response they want to go for, right, is that he's like, so, oh my god, that's amazing, but he was just like bored and like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So Alcatraz then gets kicked off the apron by Vampiro and goes through another table. Hart hits a tornado DDT to Vampiro. Entrant 10. So this is the one where I felt like that was longer than 45 seconds, but who knows? This is like a time warp. You can't.
And New Jack is like 1 second,
right.
Boom.
So Youth Suicide, who comes in with a bucket of tacks that he immediately dumps onto the ground. Hart is eliminated by Credible.
Oh, and by the way, the ladders are in play now because the last entrance.
Right, last entrance in, so we can now, the ladders.
And
in
you know they're
time.
Not quality ladders like WWE because like they're like the ones with the orange edges. Kind of like the ones they sell at ringside, you know, but like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they're like actual ladders. Well, whereas WWE can pay for gimmick ladders. Right?
Yeah.
Although they still
to,
hurt,
sure.
But like, you know what I mean? Well, where they'll break. Like, because unlike AEW, the one time, remember Sammy Guevara did the splash and like on, I think, Darby Allin, the ladder didn't break
yes.
and it looked epic.
Yes.
Right? Like,
that would kill.
Yeah. And like, but it still hurts. My point is, though, that it's like probably just bought. They probably bought ladders from like Home Hardware or something.
Probably.
Or like.
So Hart,
tires,
Hart
like, you know?
Takes a backdrop over the ropes by Credible, and he's eliminated. Oh, sorry. It was through a table. I know that. I probably don't even have to say that at this point. Nobody gets eliminated and doesn't go through something.
Right. There's like a bunch of mostly tables. There's like two tables next to each other, and then like you got like one guy, I think, got thrown over a table through a different table. And like
it's just stuff everywhere.
Table.
Youth Suicide sets up the ladder and starts to climb it, but he's grabbed by Vampiro, and he's powerbombed onto the tacks that he brought into himself. Six-Pac grabs the first contract just that quickly, right? Youth Suicide climbs the ladder again. Incredible pushes it over, and Youth Suicide falls over the top rope and into the electrified box. More
nah,
effects.
It's the cage wall
oh, sorry,
rigged
the,
with explosives.
Right. I get confused.
I'm willing to bet anybody $10 that this is rigged with pyro, not explosives.
I would think so.
I'm kidding. I'll bet you $5.
Sure. So Credible suplexes Vampiro, who pops up and hits a boot to Credible's face. Credible and Vampiro slowly climb the same ladder. Jack pointed out. What
yeah,
was...
so the ladder was, I think, in the same position earlier when Six-Pac grabbed it, which was in perfect position for him to grab. But then when Vampiro and Justin Credible were climbing, it's on the side that Vampiro's on. He's the only one that could grab it. So all he had to do was hit Credible a couple times, and he easily grabbed it.
And for all the stuff that's going on in this match... For the end, just to be like, he punches Justin Credible a couple times.
Right, it's anticlimactic.
And grabs the ladder.
Makes all the spots pointless, even more than they were earlier.
Really bizarre, right?
Right?
You end with, like, the most non-spot.
And not only that, Vampiro's the booker here, so, I mean, keep that in mind.
So, I'm going to ask you a question. How quickly, from Vampiro grabbing the contract, does the show end?
It was, like, 3 seconds, and it's like, boom, just like the... End credits.
The commentators don't really have anything to say. There's no
yeah, it's not like, we'll see you next week on Wrestling Society X.
And it's probably just
nothing.
Simply due to the fact that they're trying to get as much action in as they can in their 20 minutes, right? So there's
not
no
only an anticlimactic ending, but not, and then it's just like, Vampiro punches him, he grabs the contract. Over.
Over.
It's like,
so my overall comments here at the bottom of my notes here that this was an absolute car
Why
crash.
Did you make me watch this? Why? Fun.
So everything is so fast and so loud. There's no storytelling. So it's just spots. And I like spots. I like spots more than a lot of wrestling fans right. do. Like a lot
like
of people.
AEW, they're done well. Like
a lot of people will complain spots. About the Young Bucks, right? Like, oh, they're just spot monkeys. That's all they do. They don't
but
wrestle.
They do them
well,
cleverly.
Watch this.
And they're yeah.
and tell me
if you complain about the Bucks, yeah. then watch
so
this.
So there's no time for any
and
character
then tell
development.
Me the Bucks are bad.
There's no time for any storylines. The right. visual and special effects are
the
ridiculous.
The best storyline they did was Hamrick is a racist. Right. Like
the special effects are ridiculous and don't add anything. I guess they tried at least, but
like
really...
when he went through the wire thing, I was just like straight face. I'm just like
they. I think they should have taken the money they put into pyro and visual and special effects and bought an extra half hour of television time every week
and maybe some lights
and sort of figured things out.
Just I get it's supposed to be this grungy thing, but please some more lights.
So how do you feel, because my plan was for us to watch the first two episodes. Are you willing to watch one more, another 19 minutes of your life,
since it's for the podcast? I guess
do it for the pod, bud.
So everybody listening to this, I hope you know that I'm being put through pain right now,
so
thanks.
We're gonna That'll wrap up our episode one, and right. we'll...
It was not great, but I guess here we go. With
so
the
we'll take
episode.
A break, and we
keep in mind, this is the second episode. Sorry for interrupting again.
This is what you do anytime I try and sign
Hey,
up.
I gotta... Hey, it's like the show. Gotta get your stuff
figured in. Figured out. Say what right. you want to
say. But anyways, there's the title match on this one,
yep.
so we'll be...
So we're going to end with the main event of Vampiro versus...
I'm willing to bet it's, like, short.
Spoiler alert, it is. I can confirm.
Yeah, you said it's like 5 minutes.
Yep. Right. I wasn't watching episode two. I looked, the main
I can't wait
starting.
To see how crappy the belt
left.
Is,
five
too.
Minutes.
I bet the belt's going to be so bad.
I don't even remember if we see it or not. We'll have to see.
But it's a title match!
So anyways, we're going to wrap that up, okay. and we'll be back shortly.
We will be back in about the time that they're from their last match to the outro, so we'll be back in 3 seconds.
Yep, so we'll come back and we'll discuss episode two of Wrestling Society X.
And we'll be back in 3, 2... 1. Boom.
All right, so we're back, and Jackson has just finished episode 2 of Wrestling Society X. How do you feel about it? Just over quickly with it.
Let's just say I like the first one better, and the first one was not great
right.
either.
Yes, he did. Like he said it wasn't as good as the first one, so we'll see. Well, I've got my notes ready. I watched it a while ago, so this will refresh my memory. It was funny. I'm sitting across like a... 2-foot table from him, watching, like looking into his face as he watched the finish to this show, which
it's so bad.
Let's suffice it to say it didn't
get, it was so
it didn't
it
get the reaction
like
they were hoping for.
Yeah, so the
we'll get there, don't spoil the ending.
I know, but like, I'm not going to say okay. it, but the like the electrified wire thing from last week was like just because like I don't know, it was just whatever, but then like this one just looked so fake and it was just like
it kind of we'll get there. It kind of takes away from the end, I thought as well. So to start off the show, we get a loud yelling recap of the previous episode with tons of crowd noise behind it. In a word, I find these shows to be somewhat obnoxious, right? They're just really loud and in your face. And I don't know, I guess that was what they were going for.
Yeah.
So we get Vampiro and Six-Pack fighting for the championship tonight, right? So that,
that
on
happens.
Paper sounds pretty good, right? They're two good wrestlers.
Are they? I've never seen Vampiro.
He's good. Okay. I think he's good. X-Pac's good.
Okay.
Sorry, Six-Pac, Six, whatever.
Yeah.
So we get our usual musician co-hosts. So we did you notice who they were?
I forgot their names, but they
Oh, come on. You don't remember Juicy J and DJ Paul of the 3-6 Mafia? Yeah, so I don't know anything about them. They're there.
They are there.
Their interactions are limited, to say the least, I think.
The one time they, like, you said the skinny guy as he was referring to the Hawks guy.
Oh, Luke Hawks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't say much, but that is one thing they noticed.
That's
pointed
nice.
Out that he was skinny, right?
Yeah.
So it's funny because they welcome these hosts, but they literally don't say a word. Once they're introduced, they don't get to say anything. And then, of course, we don't have time for anything, so it's straight to action in the ring, right? Where we get your favorite guy. Who's your favorite guy?
I hate Fabian Kalen.
Fabian Kalen, again.
He's terrible.
He's still just as hyped, I have in my notes. And this time they seem to find a way for him to have one line that leads to like the camera shake and the explosions, right? So I forget what it was last week, but this week I remember it's different. This week it was, tonight we'll set the world on fire. And as he says fire, right, the camera shake and the ring posts are on fire again.
Yeah.
So every week, if we end up watching more, you can look forward to him maybe coming up with a new phrase at the beginning of the show to cue
I'm
the
sure
fire.
It's going
to
be fantastic.
It will be. Listen to the excitement in your voice, eh?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to want to review all 10 episodes of this.
No. Well, I guess then what...
We could switch to something else.
You want to backstock some bonus episodes, so I guess I kind of should.
Well, we don't have to keep doing this. We can switch to other things that you look like you suffered through this.
I mean... Would that be wrong to say that?
No, not at all. So first of the ring, from New Orleans is Luke Hawk, right?
Hawks with an X.
With an
like
X,
a cool
sorry.
Boy.
Yes, because 2000s were about putting X's on things to be cool.
And then 2000s like LOD 2000, WrestleMania 2000, and other stuff.
And Zeds for like on boys and things like
Hardy
that.
Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys.
So. They recap that Hawks is Alcatraz's partner who interfered last week and ended up back suplexing Chaos into the live wires or the box that was exploding, which was it live wires. Right, which was just amazing. The human tornado comes out in a suit and dances and removes his jacket while dancing.
And his finisher is the dreaded tornado DDT.
Right, what else would the human...
This is a terrible finisher. It's such a... basic move. It's just like a lot of people do it.
They
so
do.
It's just terrible.
Well,
even
we
like,
see multiple ones in this show, I think, right?
Right, or like, I don't know, but I know, like, it's just like, and like, the finish to this match is very anticlimactic.
Yep.
It's just.
So they make some comment about that Human Tornado might be the new Michael Jackson, which as he was coming out dancing, which I thought was funny. You've gotten into Michael Jackson a little bit lately.
Yeah,
he's definitely not the next Michael Jackson.
At least we got like 3 matches on this show.
Right.
Last time we
they
got
did
two.
They did jam in 3 epically long matches right into this 19-minute episode.
Marathons.
Yeah. So we do get Human Tornado versus Luke Hawk. We got a pop up low blow has no effect to the tornado, as they said he has balls of steel. Did you catch?
That was dumb.
So his gimmick is you can't hurt him by a low blow, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. We get a T-bone suplex by Hawk, a jumping kick to the head for 2. Head scissor, Hawk head scissored over the ropes into the floor, low drop kick.
That was weird.
And a huge front flip. He can jump really high, the Human Tornado. Huge front flip by Tornado from the ring to halfway up the aisle I had. He got a tremendous amount of distance he covered out of the ring.
Uh-huh.
Spinning heel kick to the head by Hawk, reversals and a Tornado DDT by the Human Tornado for the win.
Yep. Like I said, anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was. It's again, it's just a sprint, right? It's just two guys getting a few moves in, and then, and I don't know if there's big plans for either of these guys, so it was not much. And then post-match, right, we get Aaron Aguilera.
I don't even know what happened here. Let's just...
Aguilera, it's funny, right? Because you're saying before we started recording, there's just so much stuff flying at you. It's like asking you to focus on a single snowflake when you're standing in a blizzard, right? It's really it's really hard to remember what happened on the show. And
like,
you just watched
it. It's brain overload.
It really is. So Aaron Aguilera rushes to the ring and attacks the Human Tornado. Chaos and Alcatraz show up too. So now there's a whole bunch of people there. And Alcatraz is set up on a table. But Chaos is perched up on the ropes, takes a kick to the head, and crashes through the table. So
It's like he just jumped. It's like he thought he was Darby Allin and just tried to do a coffin drop through the table.
Right. And it's kind of like, hey, we're 5 minutes into the show and no one's gone through a table yet. So it's time.
Oh, yeah.
We're overdue for how many tables were in the first episode.
I wonder if the Dudley Boys were bookers with Vampiro.
I don't think so. They had nothing to do with this. next, we're going to get that 70s team versus Team Dragon Gate.
Literally, their name is That 70s Team, so it's not very, very...
not super creative.
It's very to the point.
Well, it's because there was that 70s show was a huge deal probably around this time. So
that
they're sort of
show?
Playing
like,
off that.
Literally
that's what it's called. The title is That 70s Show.
How creative.
It was huge when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Not a bad show. So we get a promo before that, though, with Teddy Hart and M-Dog 20 Matt Cross, who I wasn't sure, but you did notice right away that is
just the name recognition.
Son of Havoc, right?
Yep.
Who I really like. He's from Lucha Underground after this, I guess, right? Yes.
Have to be, because he doesn't have his beard yet.
Yeah, so I don't... this tag team is interesting. Both of those guys can really wrestle. So, And I noticed it was actually almost a normal full-length package. Remember, as last week, or last show, it was like 2 seconds long each one.
Right.
This one was almost a full-sized promo, I thought.
That'd be a first for them.
It was. They did it again later, too, I made a note of. So we get that 70s team, which is Joey Ryan and the Disco Machine. I mean, Joey Ryan, we've both seen all over the place.
Right.
Disco Machine, I honestly didn't know. I looked him up. He's just sort of an indie worker from around that time. versus Team Dragon Gate, which is Horiguchi and Yoshino.
Yeah. They're okay. The Strong Hearts are probably something like similar to them.
Yeah,
probably better.
Kind of idea.
Except
yeah.
Better.
And Yoshino was insanely fast, eh? Like when he's running the ropes, it's nuts. So they're saying that rumor has it Team Dragon Gate, this is one of the things the commentary told us, Team Dragon Gate are so deadly and so fast that opponents have often have to review the tape in slow motion after the match to find out what happened to them. So
yeah, it's just another one of those stupid kayfabe things that they just tell you. And I feel like even with WWE, they don't go this stupid.
No, they're trying.
It's just not great.
You get what they're trying to do, but it's just too much.
It's like, it almost feels cartoonish what they're trying to tell you.
Well, I think you could say they're so fast that you don't know what happened, but not that you have to go and watch video in slow motion, right? Like, that's taking it a bridge too far, it feels like.
It's just like, I don't know, it's just, even then, it's just like, it was just not great.
No, it's the commentary, I will say, they do a decent job of calling a lot of the moves, because sometimes you'll watch an indie promotion and they have no idea what any of the moves are. So they do that to a decent degree, I think. But just the energy level and the yelling is a lot to take. So
yeah, Fabian Kalen.
Horiguchi and Ryan start out and there's no real advantage established. So yeah. Yoshino tags in. I have that he's crazy fast, runs the ropes and hits a drop kick. More rope running, and Yoshino dodges Joey Ryan's dropkick this time. Ryan has asthma and takes out his inhaler in the middle of the match and tags out. I don't know.
I don't know
if that's comedy. What it was nothing.
It was,
I guess,
not hilarious. It was not interesting. It was not entertaining.
No. It happened. Disco it Machine starts to dance, but takes a drop toe hold and a basement dropkick. Double team and kicks out at two. More dancing and an elbow drop by Disco, and he tags out.
Standing elbow drop for a very close two count.
His offense was really limited compared to, I feel like, almost everyone else we've seen in this promotion so far. This Disco Machine didn't really do much. Yeah. Ryan gets his trunks pulled down by Horiguchi in a roll-up.
Yeah,
and Yoshino hits
dumb.
A lightning spiral, which I have in brackets the sling blade, right? I think is what it is. For two, and Disco makes the save. Horiguchi plancha onto Disco outside while Ryan hits a tilt-a-whirl slam for two. Super 70s super kick, and Ryan pins Yoshino. Horiguchi immediately grabs a disco ball. I have, like, we somehow know this is meaningful, right? Mm. Correct me if I'm wrong, they did not show the disco ball before this.
No, they did in like an entrance or something.
They did? I didn't even notice it. Because it just randomly seems like he grabs this disco ball and smashes it, and we're just supposed to understand that this is like the Undertaker's urn or something. It's so important.
No, it was just like, it was in their entrance, I think.
So I don't know. That match seemed like them trying to do a little bit of comedy, maybe, with Joey Ryan and getting his pants pulled down and the asthma inhaler, and you're just shaking your head. That doesn't come well on a podcast, eh?
I know. This is not great. And like I said, it wasn't very interesting or entertaining.
No.
So.
So next we get another promotional video. They're pushing tag teams. So this time it's the Trailer Park Boys. The video is in the trailer park.
Oh, I hated this.
Yeah,
I didn't understand anything, and I was also half listening.
So had the same question as me. You're like, who's Johnny Webb? Because you're kind of talking out loud while you watched it.
And I feel like I recognize the name, or maybe I'm thinking of that basketball guy, Spud Webb.
Maybe. You could be. Go Raptors. They're up 1-0. So Johnny Webb, who we don't really know, is just at the trailer park, and he's talking about a couple adult boys who should have jobs and goals, but they don't. So then we meet them, and I guess it's Josh and Nate. They're the team and Johnny's their manager, I guess, even though they kind of in their conversation sound like they don't really like him or respect him. So I don't know what's going on there.
I don't.
They're going to be big stars, but they end this segment fighting with each other. So it's the idea like these kids can't even get along with each other, let alone survive in a tag team match, I guess, is what they're going
it's
for.
It's not great, but
again,
they're trying to, at least trying to build a character.
They did. And again, it was a longer segment, right? Like it was almost.
I guess I can appreciate that, but.
Good effort, but.
No.
Good in theory, not in practice and execution.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair. So we get the main event now, which is Vampiro and Six-Pac for the first ever WSX champion.
Yeah, so it was kind of hard to see the belt, but like when I got a decent glimpse of it, it looked fine. It was like, I don't know. For such a crappy
promotion. I thought it looked okay, too.
For such a crappy promotion, it's good. But
the skull on it's a little bit much, but
yeah,
it actually kind of.
It was very hard to see, and it was just like.
Overall belt.
It was just
cool.
Okay.
So yeah, I have Fabian runs around screaming, carrying the belt above his head. And
yeah,
I
was struggling to see it.
So I made a prediction here, and in my notes it says, I bet Jack pauses to look at it, but you actually didn't pause it.
Because he told me.
I did tell him there was a better shot of it coming up. So
I was able to just kind of.
So the competitors are introduced in his high energy style as always. The ref shows the belt up close and I put skulls ? On it. And yep. Jack did confirm there is a skull on there.
Yep, right smack dab in the middle.
So another thing they do a terrible job of explaining or introducing or anything. We come back from commercial and they're just like, a casket is beside the ring now, and this is a signature of Vampiro.
That's what Vampiro does.
Right?
So Pretty sure that's a signature of Undertaker, but...
That's the entire background we get is, it's a signature of Vampiro's. No time to explain. Let's go, right? Like, yeah. We're back from commercial. There's a casket.
I'm pretty sure it's Undertaker, not Vampiro.
So the two start with a bit of a shoving match, and then we get a spit to Vampiro's face and a spinning kick.
Yeah, it's like the mist, but it's like not a color, so it's
yeah,
just like...
It was just like... I don't know if he's holding water in his mouth or a whole lot of spit, but one or the other. Headbutt and a big kick from Vampiro for two. Sit-out powerbomb for two by Six-Pac. Bronco Buster. Ugh. my favorite. He tries to do another, but gets caught by the neck. A low blow by Six-Pac.
It's the PTF.
Big boot by Vamp. Choke slam by Vampiro. Reverse corkscrew flip from the top. Missed by Vampiro.
Oh, yeah, it's like Whisper in the Wind, Jeff Hardy.
Oh, yeah, it was. Right. You're right.
Corkscrew sent on me.
That would have been easier than trying to describe it. Drop kick Six-Pac, and Vampiro is now outside. They call it a tumbleweed front flip over the ropes by Six-Pac.
It was a topic on heel,
to the floor.
Basically.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Six-Pac thrown overhead into the ring post outside. Clothesline by Six-Pac. He places Vampiro on a table and climbs the ropes, but Vampiro gets up, stops him. Six-Pac.
Here it is. You got it. Just remembering.
Hits a tornado DDT, but this time through a table.
What do you know? Through a table.
Yeah, surprise. Vampiro kicks out at two. Back in the ring, X-Factor for the near fall.
No, Six-Factor.
Actually, that's funny because I have X and then in brackets Six-Factor.
Yeah,
because
Six-Factor doesn't make sense because obviously it's called X-Factor because that's like a phrase.
Thing. Yes.
But then they literally just replace X with six.
Yep.
And I'm just like, Six-Factor, really? Like, what's next? A faction with the two other guys and it's now Six-Factor?
So maybe.
It was just.
Six-Pac.
Yeah, it's just like.
That could be their faction.
Yeah, and then they have three other people. Six people, and it's called Six-Pac.
That's right. So Six-Pac takes Vampiro to the apron for what looks like another X-Factor, but Vampiro low blows him and pile...
Tombstone, basically.
Sorry, I couldn't get it out of my mouth. Pile drives him into an exploding coffin. Smoke
it
explosion.
Looked so fake.
It was like, really bad.
It was terrible.
Like, Jack's face, again, they're hoping he's, like, impressed or whatever, and
okay,
he was
cringing.
Okay,
so with the wire
physically.
Thing and the cage thing, I was just like, okay. This one, I was, like, literally sighing. I was like...
Yes.
This is depressing.
It's bad. It's just they take two decent wrestlers in what could be a decent match if you gave them two or three times this
and
amount
they're
of time.
Not like
and
that
just,
old in this, right?
No.
So, like
they can still wrestle a 15-minute match,
Waltman's
no problem.
Got, or Sean Waltman, Six-Pac, whatever. He's still got some years ahead of him because I think he splits his butt in, 2013, right?
So, something like that.
Yeah.
Good old Bronco Buster.
Yeah.
Be careful. So the ref counts three. Oh, there's this funny, we were laughing a little bit because... Obviously, there's this like tombstones pile driver into this exploding
and you can't
coffin,
see them after
and they're
it.
Questioning who's won. Like the ref counts, but you can't see the exact pinning predicament. So
and
they're...
I think, I guess there could be, but like,
but I think it's more likely the guy that took a pile driver
right,
into the
like,
coffin probably lost.
Well, it's not like WrestleMania 35 where I think then Shane McMahon and Miz did that big superplex where they're both on their backs after.
Right. I guess it's possible so he could land with on
yeah,
his back
but I think it might not make sense actually because then a superplex they're both landing on their back so they're both prone to a pinfall
right.
Especially from the height they fell.
But not a
they
pile
just
driver.
Went off the apron and yeah, it's a pile driver.
It
too.
Would be highly unlikely for Vampiro to be pinned.
We have Vampiro with the belt and the epic celebration begins.
Yeah, there was so
there was no celebration.
Ref counts three, Vampiro's climbing out of the coffin as the champion and
raises
basically
the belt, and then
they have time to announce he's champion and then boom, closing
yep.
credits. So and no celebration, no anything. It's just the show
yeah.
is over.
It should be up for question why this promotion was ever a thing, but
they saw a need, right? There was
right,
a
market. They didn't satisfy the need. I think their show was too short.
I liked it a lot better back then. I can't believe I did. It's like I also misremembered. I thought I was a lot younger when this was out, right?
Right.
And then now looking back, really, it was 2007. Yes.
Right.
We don't need to do math on my age. I'm old.
13 years ago.
So
you would have been 30.
Yeah. So in my mind, it's funny how your mind plays tricks. I wasn't that old when this came out because I kind of liked it. And now I'm like, what? 30-year-old me liked this? I don't know why. Different time, different mindset. So, I mean, this show is similar to the first one, I guess, but had longer vignettes for the Filth and the Fury and the Trailer Park Boys.
It's almost like the longer vignettes are pointless because, like, they're not going to invest any storylines, right?
And, like, no. My question to you was, did the guest commentator say more than over, under, five words?
I don't know, maybe just like, I would say under 10 words.
Other than that first thing you said when they called whoever skinny, Luke Hawks, I don't remember him saying one word the whole, which is actually probably fine, right? That's, I don't really need to hear the guest commentators.
They probably suck at commentary, so.
Everything's still really loud, still very dark. There's not much time to breathe. You're kind of glad it's only 20 minutes.
I understand it's this dark promotion, but again, a little more lighting would be nice.
Yeah,
like, it looks like there's some effort put into this, I guess.
I think they had a lot of ideas and they didn't really execute many of them very well, but so again, I think those two guys would have been capable of a much better, longer match, but in this environment, there's no time for it. So they just had to do their quick 5-minute match with a coffin finish, probably limited what they wanted to do.
Right.
So, I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts? That kind of brings us to the end of this.
This is bad. So, I did not like it.
We're
again
wrapping up this bonus episode. Jack did not really enjoy it. And it was interesting for me to go back because, like I'm saying, I did not like this as much as I did back when it was originally out.
I mean, it's interesting for review because it's obviously terrible. But, like, if I was just going to watch this, I wouldn't.
No.
If I wasn't doing this podcast,
you wouldn't have.
I would have never encountered this, and I would have lived my life happily without
this.
So
we're broadening your horizons on this podcast. It's good.
I guess.
Right. So
for better or for worse.
I don't think we'll hammer out the other 8 episodes of this
show.
We
could, just maybe we'll not see. Right away.
Right. You want a breather from it?
That'd be nice.
It's funny how it's like the shortest wrestling show we'll ever see, but it is like one of the more exhausting ones to watch. So,
because especially if you're taking notes, thank God I'm not going to.
Yeah, I had to watch it like twice, maybe 2.5 times even, because I was taking detailed notes because it's happened so quickly. But anyways, we hope that you've enjoyed this first bonus episode. Basically, due to AEW scheduling, we're gonna have to push our regular scheduled show. So
this should be out at the usual.
Yeah,
time.
One of my goals is to, if we've established a day where we publish something, to publish something on those days,
regardless.
Whether it's our.
And so I think what's going to happen is, so I think we'll be able to watch Dynamite on Sunday because it comes out like at 10 here, right? So unless we're staying up to midnight, and then we got Takeover on Saturday, so maybe we might even fit in a review of Takeover.
Yeah, I don't want to take detailed notes for it because it honestly, like, I'd rather focus on Takeover. They're like my favorite things, right? So I may not take detailed, just overall impression notes, but yeah, we'll throw something
in. We'll throw in like maybe a short review of Takeover, and
I
then
think so
I think this our usual podcast that we plan to do, like the Dynamite NXT, might be, I think, at least Monday.
I'm hoping to publish it Sunday evening.
But
if we get it recorded in maybe the morning or early
possibly
afternoon, I would say look for it on Sunday. But again, as
I would
always,
say most likely Monday, but I think it's possible to get it on Sunday. Sunday or Monday.
Who's the one that does all the work and publishes it? I'm saying Sunday. It'll probably be out Sunday.
Yeah, but it depends when we review it, though.
I understand. But anyways, look for it on Sunday. All
right, yeah.
So again,
I'll keep it updated on Instagram.
Thanks to everyone for, lending us their ears for, it's going to be about an hour for this one, and let us know on any of our social media or anywhere else if you enjoyed the bonus episode, if we should do more. As always, you're probably listening to this on YouTube at FNS Wrestling. You can also find us on Podbean at FNS Wrestling. You can email us at fnswrestling@gmail.com. And Jackson, we have Instagram.
And that's FNS_wrestling_podcast. No caps on that.
So yeah, thank you very much for joining us. You'll have to forgive Jack's lack of enthusiasm. He didn't. This was not
in
his
my defense.
Review.
It's if you want to figure out why I don't have enthusiasm for this, go watch it for yourself.
I wouldn't recommend that. Maybe check out 5 minutes.
I,
and you'll understand.
Actually, I wouldn't want to torture you guys like that. Don't watch it. Just maybe watch highlights, which would be like 5-minute video.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
That's gonna wrap it up. Thank you very much for listening to us, and we'll see you next week when we are back with our regularly scheduled schedule.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. So take care, everybody, and we'll see you soon.